Okay, it's ready.
I've gotten really better at this. Okay.
Really better. Sounds like something Spanish.
You should honestly be able to guess it from the first four notes. Hold on.
I know. I just keep getting worse at this.
I really think it's something that a cowboy played around a campfire.
It is.
Say it.
But I don't know the name.
Okay.
Well, think about it. We're going to lose
listeners.
Just
the first four notes again.
I know.
On the road again.
Ah, there it is.
You hummed it to me. On the road again.
On the road
Willie
again.
Nelson.
It was his birthday yesterday.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Willie's.
Yes.
Wow.
Thought his birthday was on 420.
I played that. That's his favorite holiday.
Yeah, that's definitely his favorite holiday. That's for sure.
All right. So tonight our guest is Josh Elm, Genoa native.
Yeah.
Okay, but before we get into this week's episode, my son Lane, he wants to tell Jacket something, and just to stem off of this, we talked a lot about the van house in last week's episode, and Miles's dad actually gave us a van, so we are part of the van family now. It's a big white van that has a VHS in the back that the kids love to ride in, but Lane came up with this week, and he wanted to tell Jacket. Go ahead.
Since you call the van house, I call it our van the White House.
That's awesome.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that is pretty funny.
It's white.
It is the White Van House.
That's perfect.
All right, buddy. Go on. Good night. Anyway, so Josh.
See you, Lane.
See you, dude.
So this week, we're going to talk a little bit about a few things, actually. So a couple of things I didn't know about you was that you did suffer from drug addiction.
Yep.
Suffer from?
Well, what do you call it?
They call it a disease. I mean, they do. But I don't know if you can really say suffer or.
That was just me kind of being a bunghole is all that was.
But I feel it's a success story because, I mean, I didn't realize how long ago this was, but now today you're our current mayor of Genoa, Nebraska. So I would say you've come out of it, and I mean you've got a good story that goes behind it.
Yeah, it was definitely a road,
mm-hmm.
A long road,
mm-hmm.
but once I got on the right path, it was definitely for the better.
Yeah. So the reason we kind of had Josh on this episode too is because he listened to our last week's episode and said that Ben Bakewell helped him a lot in his road to recovery. So
that man saved my life.
That's awesome.
How's that?
Well, he pulled me over. And
so not like he's throwing you a different kind of life raft, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, once I went to treatment and stuff and got done going through court and stuff, I went and thanked him.
In person. That's awesome.
For saving my life.
That's awesome.
You know, I truly believe that if he wouldn't have pulled me over that night, that I don't even know if I'd be here today.
You might be dead in a different way.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, so
I'm glad I'm not, that's for sure.
But. Yeah, for sure. Me too. Good mayor.
Yep.
Some days.
So let's kind of dive into let's start from the very beginning. Like what kind of childhood did you have? How was growing up?
Well, I mean, it wasn't terrible. I mean, my parents got divorced when I was pretty young. I was three.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, pretty young. But my mom did live here in town until I was 5.
Oh.
And then she felt it necessary to move to Rapid City, South Dakota.
Okay.
She had an aunt and uncle that lived up there. So.
And it was just you? You were the only kid at home?
Yep. I was with my dad, and of course I had my dad's mom, my grandma Genevieve. She still lived here in town, just right up. It was her house is right south of where dad is.
Okay.
It's of course no longer there, but
so she was probably a big part of your childhood.
Absolutely,
then.
Yeah. I mean, she took me to school. I went there when I got out of school when I was little until she went to the nursing home.
So I just come up with a question right now, but. Do you remember, like, specifically feeling like you suffered from not having your mom around at that age, or do you think you didn't know better?
I don't really think I knew any better.
That's kind of the same lines of Lane, you know, not growing up with his dad, not knowing better, and, you know.
Yeah. No, I mean, I thought I had it pretty decent, I guess. You know, grandma took damn good care of you, you know. She made sure you ate and, you know.
That's what grannies do.
Didn't overeat. Do stupid stuff, you know.
I mean, you did anyways. You're a little boy.
Well, yeah.
I know what that's like having little boys right now.
And dad still farmed back then, so you know it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all in all things considered, when you look back at it, I mean, it wasn't terrible
for sure.
But
so you grew up like in a farming life.
Yep, farm, okay. And then of course, mom's side of the family was all truck drivers and mechanics and stuff. Truck mechanics, so, you know, grew up around farming and trucking.
So how often did you see your mom?
Basically, she would come back. She would always come back for my birthday. She would always come back either Thanksgiving or Christmas, one or the other. And then I'd go up and spend the summer up in Rapid City.
So yeah. You guys still close now?
Yeah. I mean, it's always a work in progress. Just
sure.
Because of how things went, but
so far away too.
Yeah, but it's definitely better now than it was. I mean, communication wise back then,
yeah,
it was a long distance phone call.
Oh and my God, yeah.
That was expensive.
Yeah.
It really was, you know.
God, I forgot about
that. Is it really worth making that long distance phone call?
To call your mom, I think it would be.
It's just a question.
It was like once a week. Kind of a deal, unless, you know, I was sick or something like that. But
sure. Yeah. Did you ever, so this is off the topic of drugs at all, but did you ever have the point of growing up where you, like, were mad at your dad and asked to go live with your mom?
Yeah. Yeah.
I wondered.
Yep.
Even not knowing what that would be like, but just, like, being mad at your dad?
About eighth grade. Yep.
What was the answer to that?
The hell you will was basically what I got.
Yeah. Do you remember why you were
mad? There
was
probably some more choice words used in that.
Oh,
but
sure.
I've kind of heard the rumor that calmed down on the cussing and on this show, so I'm...
Yeah, we've been trying to do a little bit better.
Trying.
No, that's all good.
When we first started, I thought like 10 people were going to listen to it, but now we got 20. So moving up in the world.
Yeah.
Hey, moving on up.
Yeah.
You bet.
On the road again. Anyways, okay, so when were you very first introduced to, like, even alcohol or drugs?
I probably tried alcohol the first time when I was probably 14, somewhere.
That's pretty, you know, kind of pretty typical. Nebraska age.
Yeah.
Pretty typical.
Where were you, or do you remember?
It was a house party here in town.
Sure.
One of my classmates.
Did you like
born
it?
Born and raised in the G spot.
Something like that. No.
I didn't either.
Not really, because it was whiskey. And,
oof.
And I tried a beer that night. Didn't like that. Had some whiskey. Oh, that ain't so bad. Until about an hour later.
Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah, it was not good.
Yeah.
Not good. Not good. So kind of stayed away from alcohol for a while.
So when did drugs come into the picture?
Probably 16-ish, somewhere in
there. Really?
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, was it who you were hanging out with, or was it just by chance?
Kind of by chance, I think, more than anything. But, yeah, first thing was, hey, let's go smoke a joint.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Where were you in the setting?
I mean, around town somewhere. We were partying, whatever.
And someone just brought it up, and yeah, it's kind of like a peer pressure thing almost.
Yeah, let's go smoke a joint. I'm like, what's a joint?
Yeah.
You know.
I
don't know.
Yeah.
And then you found out.
Then we found out.
And then.
Did you feel anything the first time you did it?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I've only done it twice. Both times I felt. You stop it. Both times I felt absolutely nothing.
You probably did.
You probably
like
do. You just don't realize it.
Well, okay, so I'll kind of take it back. Like, my first time ever doing it, and this is a terrible story.
Doing what exactly?
Smoking weed.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yep, smoking weed.
I was in high school. This is a bad story. I'm going to have to leave a lot of names out because I don't want to get anyone in trouble, and I'm still friends with these people, but I was babysitting. I was babysitting for their kids, and they came home after a night out at the bar, mm-hmm. and it was me and one of my best friends babysitting for them, and
that's a lot of details.
Nobody would know who that is, though. But anyways,
I already do.
You know, you don't. Anyways, they came home, and I remember they creeped me out kind of because of what he said. Like, the husband, he goes, "You guys ever do anything like more than drinking?" Stop it. And I didn't know what they meant. Like, I was like, I was that oblivious and that innocent when it came to drugs. And I'm not kidding. I had no clue what they meant. It was like going into all different places, wondering what they were talking about. But anyways, my best friend that was with me, she goes, "Do you mean like smoke weed?" And I looked at her the same way, like I was thinking in my head, like, how the hell do you know what that is? Or how did you know to say that? And they're like, yeah, yeah. So you know. Pretty soon they're getting off the top of the fridge and you know, they're lighting up. And we had beers there, which that was also bad. So we had already been drinking. So I took a puff of this. And then what happened to me was just like face down, like done.
Nap city.
Immediately spinning, like miserable.
Yeah, you were feeling it. You just didn't.
That's all I felt was miserable, though.
Yeah. That's mixed with alcohol first time. Definitely, yeah.
It was not a fun experience.
Yeah.
And then the second time I did it, again, there was just nothing. And so after that, I was like, okay, this is stupid. I'll just stick with my White Claw and be happy.
Yeah.
They didn't have White Claw back then.
Yeah, I was going to say, Busch Light.
Busch Light. You're completely right.
You delicious, are. Nutritious Busch Light. Quit saying that name until they start paying us.
No yes. shit. Yeah, you need a sponsorship deal there.
Right? But, okay, so anyways, after that first time you did it, like, was it something that was on your mind a lot, or was it not till like the next time it got brought up?
Not really, but yeah, then you know, a couple weekends go by and you're at a different party and
hey, we got some sweet new drugs. Or no,
it was just weed, you know, for a while, you know. Oh, hey, you want to go get high? Oh, okay, yeah, let's go, because I didn't like to drink, because like the taste of it.
Yep.
So that's where, you know.
So it started with weed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then how did you get to the point where you knew you liked it enough that you needed to figure out how to buy like a, or find like a dealer?
It didn't take long.
No. I've just been curious.
That's like, a good question.
I'd be terrified. I wouldn't know who to ask long. Or.
I'd say maybe 6 months. Maybe.
Okay.
You know, because everybody else is doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which like all my friends were drinking. Except for a couple.
No one drinks in a small town.
Never. Never, ever. Nobody's ever done that before. I don't know what you're talking about. But, yeah. So, yeah. Maybe 6 months. And I'm like, I should have a bag of weed of my own.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And some rolling papers and whatever.
All the fancy stuff.
Well, yeah. You know. And before you know it, you have a collection of stuff.
So how does it transition from that to, like, different drugs?
Usually it was at a party, you know, somebody'd say, hey, want to try this? I don't know about that.
What'd they mean, though? What'd they do?
Well, you know, hey, you want to smoke some dope?
What's the where I'm going to be totally oblivious.
So a lot of elderly people, they're elderly now.
Our elders.
Yeah, okay. Our elders. Back in the day, smoking dope was smoking weed.
That's what I thought.
That's what I thought, too.
But
it's not.
So me growing up, smoking dope was, do you want to smoke some meth?
Oh, that's or, a hop, skip, and a leap.
Yeah. The wordage or verbiage, whatever you want to
interesting.
Say, kind of changed, you know, throughout generations.
I didn't think meth was, how long's meth been around? I mean, just
like a long time.
Oh, I thought it was like maybe in the 80s or something. I don't, because
I'd really say probably either. 70s, 60s, 70s.
Oh, okay.
Late 60s, early 70s, probably.
Dope was maybe meth.
Even. Dope was meth.
But you went straight from marijuana to meth? I mean, that's
yeah, pretty leap. Much. Pretty much.
Oh, I have so many questions.
But yeah, it was because getting high, you were just.
It was a downer.
You're a downer. Yeah. And you're just chill, relaxed, go to Pump and Pantry,
get like, some snacks.
Get some snacks.
All the snacks.
You know, Mountain Dew, whatever. Or a lot of times it was make a trip to Monroe, get a couple double chubs. From Monroe, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. But then it was, well, you know, if we smoke some dope, we can stay up all night and party. And I'm like, well, how do you do that? Well, if you do this, you stay up all night. Oh, well, that kind of sounds like fun. Sure, let's try it.
So it's kind of, again, it's who you're hanging out with. A big part of it is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I was kind of, not to jump ahead, but part of the treatment thing is change your people, places, mm-hmm. and things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
So, yeah. Okay, I have all the questions about meth because I've only ever seen it in the TVs. Mm-hmm. So, like, I what I know about it is, like, seeing a lighter under a spoon and then, like, seeing, like, needles and shit. So, like, what is the process like?
So, that's injecting it or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was like a heroin thing.
That and it is.
That's
but
a different thing?
You can do.
Yeah.
They called it doing a bump, which is injecting needles.
We need a dictionary.
With meth? Meth. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's called doing a bump.
Yeah.
But then you can smoke it too, and then.
You can smoke it. You could snort it.
You can eat it or something too, can't you?
You could eat it. A lot of times.
What? Is it like Pop Rocks?
No,
is it crunchy?
You do not want to leave it in your mouth very long.
Oh. Why?
Because it would burn.
Really?
Yeah. Just like when you did if you did a line, you snort a line, it would burn. Like
what?
Real bad. But then it would absorb and kick in and you're like, all right, let's go. You know. But yeah.
I'm in shock.
Other than staying up, like you said you'd stay up. What's it feel like? What's it do?
You're going. You got all the energy in the world. You just
so what do you so do with, what you, do you, what do, you do with all
you
that
just
energy?
Drank 10 Red Bulls, you know, you're ready to rock and roll, do whatever.
But what did you actually do in
we
that time?
Played video games.
Okay.
You know, whatever.
You're not very productive.
Not really. Mm-mm. Because there was no such thing as being a gamer back then.
But I mean,
by
even
God,
doing
if
anything.
There was, maybe we'd be millionaires or something, but I don't know.
But, I just don't. So, I mean, so since there weren't any games, what were you doing when you were like amped up like that?
Doing stupid shit.
Jumping off roofs, breaking picnic tables and shit.
Well, just you were driving around. You were out in the country, mudding, screwing shit up, breaking signs off of posts. You know, whatever. I mean, the list goes on.
How'd you get stopped when you did?
By Ben?
So
no name dropping.
I was not driving my truck at the time. I was working for a farmer.
I was talking to Kitty about the name dropping, by the way.
I said Ben.
It's all good.
Ben.
I don't think he'll care.
No.
But I was working for a farmer because me and Dad kind of had a falling out, and I was in a really bad place because of some other things that had gone on. And I come to town. I got some food at pump, some gas in the vehicle, and I pulled out a pump and didn't turn my headlights on.
Mm.
Oops. Went about halfway down Main Street. Oh, turn the lights on. Oh. There goes Ben. Shit. And yeah, he immediately turned around, went around the church corner.
Whoop, whoop. Can you be talking about this right now? I mean, statute of limitations, whatever.
I mean, I got in trouble, so.
How long ago?
2011.
Yeah, he's fine.
Man, I never knew any of this stuff.
I didn't either.
Yeah, 2011, so it was a long time.
I need to back up again. You never told us how you did the meth. Did you inject?
No, I never did inject. Never.
So what did you do?
I snorted or smoked it.
Yeah. Oh.
One or the other.
Is that a process to smoke it too, or is it because I've seen the baggies of the crystals? So you just put it in there and light it.
How have you seen all these baggies?
No. The new drug bust in Nebraska. Did you see this?
Oh yeah.
No, I did not.
Yeah. I wrote this.
This is impressive. This just happened this week.
Oh no! Shit.
It was like yesterday, wasn't it?
Yes.
I wrote this down. 200 pounds of crystal methamphetamine seized in Nebraska in Seward County. $7.2 million worth. But I was like, that's pretty.
That's a lot.
Pretty bad. But then I'm like, okay, well, it was done on I-80. The guy was from Stockton, California. So who knows where he's going? So. Now I don't feel they were on the interstate. I don't feel as bad about Nebraska doing meth because he was maybe just passing through and got caught by Nebraska police.
And
so
Seward County,
yeah,
time. Yeah.
So good for them. Good for them, guys.
And
No, they do a good job. I mean, there was a statistic years ago, whenever there would be a drug bust on the interstate. Another vehicle would go by with four times the size of a shipment.
Oh. Oof, Dad.
You know, I don't know if that's still true.
I've never heard that before. How much is meth? Then, how much do you buy at a time?
I don't know. When I first started doing it, you would buy they call it a teener, which was half an eight ball, which an eight ball is 3.5 grams.
Thank you, because I had no idea.
Yeah, which. People are going to wonder, why do you know all this shit? But it's because I knew that.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
But yeah, it was 1.75 grams.
But how much did it cost?
$50, $60, something like that.
Sounds kind of reasonable.
You know, to party for 2 or 3 days.
Two or three days is all it lasts you.
Yeah.
So when you ran out, were you anxious to get more?
Not at first. Not really. You know, it was, we got some for the weekend, you know, whatever. And through the week, you didn't really care. But then come the weekend, and we're going to party. Oh, get a little bit of that, get a little bit of this. Okay, yeah, now we're good to go for the weekend, you know.
Did you ever get so bad you were to the point of picking at your face and all that?
I was just going to ask.
Had that problem.
I was going to ask if you ever got the meth mites.
I knew people that did, definitely.
Was it terrifying?
It was like, what are you doing? Why do you do that? I didn't do it.
Did you lose a ton of weight?
I did towards the end there before I got busted. Yeah. Yeah.
So did your friends and family notice?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure they did. I don't know. They never really said they did, but.
Because is there such thing as a functional drugaholic?
Well, so I had an argument about this at treatment. Because I completely was, I would say, a functioning addict.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say they're functional alcoholics.
Mm-hmm.
And the counselor, we were in a group session. The counselor said, there's no such thing as a functioning addict. And I said, bullshit. There is too, because I was one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you couldn't be. I said, what do you mean I couldn't be? And I told her, I went to work every day. Yeah, I would get up in the morning, maybe do a line or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I would get up, I would go to work, I would pack my lunch, take a lunch with in the truck, whatever. And when I come home, I'd maybe smoke a little weed or whatever, make some supper, relax for the evening. And go to bed and do it all again. Do it all over again the next day. And she adamantly looked me right in the eyes and said, there is no possible way you could have done that.
So it wasn't.
But you did it.
But I did it, yeah.
Okay.
We got into, it was almost a, it was basically a screaming match for about a half an hour at the treatment center. It was kind of crazy.
But it wasn't just meth for you at some point. It was like kind of a mixture of both.
Yeah, it was a mixture.
See, that even I think is impressive, because I've always thought like once you got hooked on meth, you're on meth and that's it, and you can't like get better than that.
No, not really. No,
I don't mean better, you know.
Because you were up and going, and then in the evening, of course, this is just me, in the evening, smoke a little weed, come down, relax, watch TV, whatever.
Play. So what was your life like at that point? Were you living alone? Were you...
I was living by myself in our neighboring town to the east, mm-hmm. and yeah, I had two kids, but we weren't together. Me and my ex weren't together at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
just kind of a
just
did know, you have split custody or
yeah, I'd get him on the weekends or whatever.
And there was never any question from her like thinking that you were
she had the same troubles.
Oh, gotcha. So,
I mean, we did the stuff together for a long time.
Okay,
you ever watch Breaking Bad?
I have not.
I
watched Breaking Bad.
I watched that series and I'm like, man, I want to. Just buy an old camper.
Start and, making meth.
Yeah. If you've seen the pallets of money that he made, I know it's a TV show.
I've seen little clips and stuff.
It's a great TV show, but it's a pretty long series, but man.
I don't know if I could bring myself to watch it. I really don't know if I could.
I don't blame you, but I watch it. And I'm like, man, I need to find a camper.
Well, did you?
Find a camper. I need to take some.
That just sparked another question. Did you ever learn how to make
classes.
It? Or did you just?
Nope. Nope, I just purchased it for my use, and once in a while you would purchase maybe a little bit more than what you needed and maybe get rid of it to some other friends.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
Got it. There's no mething around here.
Yeah, there was some crazy days in there, I will say that.
So did you?
That was before I had kids.
Did you ever get to the point, like, was there, like, a desperation point where, like, you needed it so bad but didn't have it or, like, couldn't get it and you were, like, having maybe some kind of withdrawals?
A couple times, and that was when I was kind of really going off the deep end there.
Which means what? What were you doing?
I was doing more drugs than a guy should probably be able to handle in a day and just... doing odd jobs to make money to buy more drugs. And
that's what I was wondering, like, when it came to that part, because were you ever financially stable when you were doing drugs?
Yeah, for a long time I was, until I lost my best friend. Then shit went downhill real fast.
Mm.
Real fast.
Do I know who this like, is?
Yeah.
You lost your best friend.
Like he died?
They died or?
Yeah. Yeah. John Zappa.
Oh, yeah, I should have known that.
Yeah.
I should have known that.
I was pretty new to town back then, so I don't really...
That
don't.
Was... So, and you know that his sister was my best friend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was a... That, so, you... Oh, my gosh, this is all... I should have put that together before now. Do you know there was one time... there was one time that his sister and I went... We were having a sleepover at their house, and we went downstairs... And we were jumping on his bed and grabbing the rafters, and she found his bong.
Oh, shit.
The ceiling rafters. Yeah, so we found it above the rafters, and Becky, like, grabbed it, and we both looked at it and had no idea what the hell it was, and ran it upstairs immediately and gave Told it to their Sharon. Mom. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Immediately, and she's like, John!
Oh, yeah. I can just hear her screaming right now.
Yes.
Sharon was kind of like my second
mom. Oh, me too. She was everyone's, kind of. She's awesome. Like, so much fun.
Yeah, that was, like, when we graduated, that was one thing. When my mom was down here, of course, for graduation, she went and thanked Sharon for, like, being my second mom.
She was, like, mama bear to the whole town, kind of.
She was. Well, and we always went over there at lunch, you know,
because
we were really good friends. And, you know, well, I have to say best friends, but...
Oh, I guarantee. Yes, you were.
And... Yeah, go over there. Maybe we may or may not have smoked a cigarette or two
from the bong.
No, I'm just saying maybe may or may not have smoked some tobacco.
Do you smoke cigarettes now?
Yes, I do.
Do you?
Yeah. What flavor?
Marlboro Reds.
Sick.
72s, actually, the short ones.
I don't smoke cigarettes, but that's why I said sick. You had something else you were going to go off of there.
I don't remember.
Okay. Well, I guess I just
derailed. We just kind of got off on a side story there, I think.
I derailed us. Yep.
Yeah.
I kind of completely forgot you lost your best friend. So how old were you when that happened?
So let's see. Well, that was 2011. Right there.
Nice. The tattoo.
August 12th, 2011. So,
I can't do math.
You're
so
making
that's all
me
I
math
knew.
Right now.
I can't do it either.
I would have been 29.
Yeah. Young. That's young enough to.
Yeah, he would have turned 30 that year.
That was the same year. Yeah. The same age Brett was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not cool.
Which he was. What I remember about him is that he was working his butt off because mm-hmm. he had his two boys.
Yep. Yep. He was doing real good.
Yeah. Working on like small engine stuff.
He was working for Suba, doing a lot of welding. He was welding up because they did all that trenching for pivots and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he was welding up the pipes that come up out of the ground to go to the pivot point, you know, the center point.
Okay.
And stuff. He would weld all that stuff up.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he was working on a mower or something. And
which
something happened to the forklift that was holding it. And
it was a freak accident. I remember hearing like I hit him in the temple or something.
Yeah,
it
hit him in
quick.
The head somewhere. And yeah.
But that doesn't make it any better.
No, it really, really sucked because at the time we were kind of on the outs as friends. We kind of had an argument over some stupid shit. And, you know, I will never, obviously never be able to take that part of our relationship back. Because he died before I could ever
mm-hmm.
say, hey, I was being a dumbass.
I mean,
you know,
it's part of it. It happens a lot.
Yeah,
it sucks. How do you know?
And yeah, I'll always consider him my best friend forever. I hope wherever he is, he feels the same way.
Oh, you know. You know he does.
You know, but
so did he know you were doing drugs?
Oh, yeah.
Did he? I don't need to ask that.
Yeah, we'll maybe leave that one out.
Yeah, but he knew you were.
Oh yeah.
Okay, yeah. And neither one of you like were like making each other stop. You're just like whatever you want to do, you can do.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
So how did Bakewell know you were even doing drugs?
Probably just knew.
How?
You know, when you're a cop, you kind of know things.
But you can't smell people. Meth, right?
Oh, it has an odor.
I mean, you can probably
really?
Try to sniff it. You know what I mean? That was my funny.
There you go.
Yeah, just,
I
you know.
I don't need that button. I don't think I would smell it. I don't.
It's about the best I can do for now, guys.
I don't. But I've never,
you need
obviously.
To, need to get yourself the next upgraded board.
And we're too effect. Poor. Yeah. We are on a budget.
We got no sponsors.
Yeah. Hey, well, you need to work on Busch Light.
Yeah.
And you need to work on White Claw.
Yeah, I know. I know it. Well, Jacket wants to get this boot company to sponsor us too.
Right? Hey.
I mean, we've whatever, got possibilities, but we
works.
Just we feel like we'll get there.
You eventually. Never know who might find it interesting that, you know, what your show's about,
mm-hmm.
you know, and say, hey.
So after Ben pulled you over, like, what did he arrest you for?
Well, the initial stop, he walked up to the window, and I pretty much said, what the F do you want? And, yeah, that started it off real good. And
that's how I'm going to greet him next time I see him. After I'm running.
Yeah,
after I'm running away. What the F do you want? He's going to have to tase me.
Yeah. I think he drew his taser. Then basically when I
probably the last time it got used.
I never got tased.
Oh.
He don't use it no more though.
I never got tased, but he basically said, well, I got told to get the F out of the car and I pretty much told him no. He went back to his cruiser 2 minutes later, come back. You will get out of the car right now. Or I will drag you out of the car.
And he could too. Like, you're a big dude too. How tall are you?
I'm like 6'5". So I used to be taller, but truck driving kind of screwed that up for me.
That's messed up.
It is. It is. Yeah, driving truck kind of screws up your back. Mm. It's not good for it. But yeah, no, I was probably 6'6", 250.
He's 6'12".
Yeah, he's a big dude, definitely. He's a lot, I want to say, beefier now than he was back then. But, but yeah, because I think, I don't know how new he was around here. How long has he been
17 years, he
said. So,
which, how many years were you?
So that was like, he'd been around here for like 4, roughly, at that time.
And how many years did you, like, were you on this binge?
Oh, shit. A while.
So he got you out of the vehicle. Years. Got you out of the vehicle.
Yeah, I finally, okay, I'll get out, you know.
Did you get arrested, though?
He put me in handcuffs because I'm going to search your vehicle and whatever. And
of course, did you try to hide any of it right before that?
I knew where it was in the vehicle. I wasn't sure if he would find it or not.
Did he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They always do.
They always do. Yeah, he found it. So, yeah, got arrested for possession.
Where was it?
Under the seat.
Oh, well, that's not that hard classic. To find.
But it was in a pretty incognito bag that you wouldn't really realize that it was a bag kind of a deal. But
interesting.
Yeah. A carpet bag. That's where the term carpet bagger comes from.
Sure.
I just made all that
up. I was going to say, is that a real thing or not?
No.
No.
Carpet bagger. Carpet bagger is a term.
No, what carpet muncher is, but I never heard of that.
Oh! Yeah, carpet bagger is from like back in the 1800s.
I was going to say 1880s-ish.
Never heard of it.
It was like, what were they? They were like salesmen. And they had a bag, and it was usually, you know, had all their stuff in it that they were trying to sell. They called them carpet baggers.
That's weird.
Yeah, I heard Eastwood say it on Josie Wales one time.
Josie Wales. I love that movie.
I don't know what that is either.
You're so lame.
You guys are from the 1800s, so anyways. Hey,
there's nothing wrong with a good Western now. Come on.
So, okay, after he arrested you, what happened then? Did you go to jail? Did you?
Absolutely.
Like Nance County, like Central City? Or
Nance County does not have a jail, so you got transported to Platte County.
Nice. Upgraded. Yeah.
Upgraded to Platte County.
How long did you have to stay?
I think, I had to do, of course, an arraignment hearing and get a bond hearing. I guess it would have been a bond hearing to get a bond. My dad came and bailed me out.
How'd that go?
Not well.
Did he know you were on drugs?
Well, he did then. If he didn't know, he knew then.
Does he know you're doing the show?
Yes, I told him I was doing the show.
Sorry,
he asked. He asked about what, and I said, well, about drug addiction. Oh, okay.
Sounds about like your dad.
Yeah.
He's pretty laid back.
Yeah. So, yeah, went to jail. Dad bailed me out. We're leaving town, and he says, I talked to a judge. You're going to treatment. I says, okay. Well, where am I going?
Valley Hope.
Yep. You're going to Valley Hope. I said, well, when am I going? Tomorrow.
Oh.
I said, oh, okay. Well, you need to stop at Cubby's. Well, what for? Because I need some cigarettes. You don't need to smoke cigarettes. And I said, I don't give a shit, basically, is what I told him. Because if you want me to quit doing drugs, please don't make me quit smoking at the same time. That might not be good.
Well, yeah.
So he stopped and bought me some cigarettes. But, yeah, so.
How long was the Valley Hope treatment?
I was there 23 days, I think.
Well, that's not as long as I thought it would be.
Yeah, most go 30.
How did the what's it called, detox part go?
Well, I got the privilege of detoxing in jail.
Oh.
So, yeah.
I mean, is it
makes
rough?
It makes it easier.
Yeah, sure.
Because the cops ain't going to give you no meth.
And they ain't going to give you nothing to help with anything either. So, yeah.
They just don't show any compassion at all.
Oh, no, they don't care.
So, talk me through what Valley Hope's like.
So,
what's a day like?
A day, you get up pretty early, go eat breakfast.
They make you get up early.
Oh, yeah. You have no choice. I mean, excuse me. It's not like they bang down your door and force you out of bed, but when you get there, it's like, okay, this is your schedule. So, you know right away that you're going to get up early.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go to breakfast. A lot of people went to like a chapel for a little bit after breakfast, do praying or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
are there any people that like rebel or try to run out of, like, are you locked in there?
You are not locked in there.
So
no.
You could just run out and have a campus. Friend open you up, like pick you up?
It is an open campus. It is an open campus.
That kind of shocks me.
Because we could walk uptown, go to the convenience store, whatever, get some pop, cigarettes, whatever.
You're the homies of that town.
Kind of, yeah.
No one's going to know what that means.
That was crossing the line. Everybody knows what that means.
In Genoa.
I remember the first time I seen a homie.
But it is like that. They don't know who you are.
Yeah.
I thought it was a zombie.
Yes.
It was when I worked for Big J. And
should we probably say what, or like explain it? It's kind of like a, I don't want to say it's a rehab, like nursing facility. It's kind of like a.
It's a care facility for.
Burnouts. I'm just going to say it. It is. Right?
I don't know if they're all burnouts.
A lot of them, I think, are, and it's like a long-term care facility, but for people like our age.
I'm going to say mentally disabled.
Or that.
I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know what.
Politically correct. Not right? That we're going to do that all the time here, but just.
Mayor Elm.
I try to be. I try a lot harder to be now than I used to, I guess.
Katie loves politics.
No, actually, that's the number one rule on the show is politics never get brought up. So you will get asked to leave if you bring it up.
You won't.
You won't.
She's not going to move you.
But anyways, that is like, okay, so, I mean, I grew up here too, obviously, but we always call them homies, and I know that's.
And we had two of them here in town.
Right. We used to have two of the homes, yes. Yeah. But they basically get an allowance every day, and they would walk to pump because they don't drive.
Yep. And get their pop and their cigarettes or whatever, and
they're not harming anything. They're not. Actually, I came to get close to quite a few of them when I worked at the hospital.
I cannot confirm or deny this, but there may or may not have been a certain homie in town that maybe got transported to other towns to buy beer for people.
Oh, that's kind of awesome.
I never experienced that firsthand, but I did.
Hear about it. Sure.
Yeah.
You don't hear anything in small towns.
Never. Never.
No, but that's.
Kids don't talk. Right. You don't know nothing,
So you, did your dad dropped you off up there then? And then did he have to pick you up?
My stepdad come down. I think my mom was actually living in Omaha at the time because she was being a traveling RN at the time in Omaha. And my stepdad come down and actually gave me a ride up there.
Can you drive yourself there? I'm sure you can.
You can, but once you're there, you cannot leave in your vehicle for like the first 2 weeks.
But again, how do they stop you?
They pretty much take your keys.
And what if you have a hide a key under your car?
Well, then
you can run out and leave.
There was a guy that had his car there, and he had privileges to drive uptown for a while. But then all of a sudden he didn't. went and bought some beer.
So I was just going to say, so treatment. Did you see people there that were like going through the withdrawals real bad?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yep. There's a friend of mine. He's still a friend of mine. We have a lot of them I'm Facebook friends with to this day. And there was one guy. He was
Sweating,
alcoholic.
Sick.
Yep. It was bad. It was real bad.
Wow.
But he's a real good dude and, come through it just kind of like I did.
So how many years do you think you were in this addiction?
Well, I would have to say from the time I started doing it, I never really quit doing it until I went to treatment.
So how many years was that?
So let's see. So just say 16 to, it was October 7th, 6th, 7th, one of them 2 days of that year of 2011 when I went. And so what would that be? I can't math right now. No. 2011, that's 11. And I was 16 in 98.
All right.
So.
Over 10 years?
Yeah.
That's.
Definitely wow. Over 10.
Wow.
Yeah. So, well, it'd been like, 13 years, something like that.
And since that Wednesday in Valley Hope, clean?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I say clean. I would like to say clean and sober for quite a while because I didn't drink or anything either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for probably, it was like 3 years, something like that, 2, 3.
So, dang.
But then I think I'm okay to have a beer or whatever.
No.
I don't drink a lot, but so, I do like having an evening cocktail when I get home, I guess.
So fast forward to now when you went from being single, methed out.
Yeah, and that's what I was.
And now you're truthfully married.
Yeah.
Kids.
Five.
And the mayor of Genoa.
And the mayor of Genoa.
And we are in 2024 kicking ass.
Yeah, 13 years later.
How long have you been the mayor?
I have been the mayor for roughly a year and a half, roughly.
I'm still kind of mad at you about the water ban last year.
I'm sorry.
I had the nicest looking green lawn.
You did not have a nice lawn.
The fuck I didn't. I did.
Well, mine was looking pretty good too. And
why did? No, I know. I'm just. I don't really give shit. Like, who wants some other lawn? But why did the water ban take place? Was it because of the
drought?
It wasn't because of the. Didn't the other water tower, the backup, have a pump or something?
We have a backup water tower?
No. Well, it's not a water tower. So we have two wells.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our wells had sucked air.
Oh, I remember that. Yep. So, and I'm not against the water ban. My vehicles don't need washed.
Apparently mine didn't either. So,
but, I mean, I got some controversial shit.
What?
It's all good.
Do you guys sprinkle chemicals in the water? Like,
no, we do not.
Like fluoride and shit?
Not unless we are ordered to by the state. We might have to run some, I can't even remember what they call it.
Clorox bleach.
It's kind of like that.
No.
To kill the bird shit in the water tower. But do you guys,
water tower.
So when the state calls you to sprinkle the magic dust in there, you have to do it.
It's a pump up at the well. That would be a good question for Andy. He's our water man, Andy Ditter. But yeah, we have a small pump that trickles in the chemical, and it's just to clean the lines and stuff, but we don't have to do it very often.
Is it hydrogen peroxide?
No, I don't believe so.
I mean, we use that on a lot of wells. It's a trickle system. Gets rid of the manganese and all that stuff.
You'd have to ask Andy for sure. I don't know exactly.
I know he's
going to lie to me.
No, he'll tell you.
Government officials.
No, he seriously will tell you.
I'm just kidding about all that. I love our government so much.
Well, you better love the local government. Come on, man.
After that water ban, I'm a little on the fence.
Well,
kidding.
Just be prepared. It might happen again, unfortunately.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
So we're
not totally out of the woods yet.
What's the goods and the bads about being mayor? Like, are there any big privileges you get, or just like the fame?
You get a title, I guess. That's about it.
Do you get like? Do you have to deal with a lot of backlash too? Like, does your phone go off the hook all the time?
No, it does not.
That surprises me, kind of.
Most people call the office, and then
it gets relayed to you.
Yep, Kayla or Katie will relay it to me. From the office. Time for a new one.
Yeah, always is.
Yeah, but no, it's, some people will call, people that know me better than some other, others, they kind of feel, I don't know if they feel intimidated to call me or what, but they don't. They call the office instead, but it doesn't bother me.
Well, I mean, even like.
If anybody wants to call me, by the way, that listens to this in the town,
don't do it. Don't put your number out.
Hey, I'm not going to put my number on here, but. They know where to find it.
Oh, I'm gonna have a phone call with you after this.
I should have played that on the harmonica.
There you go.
It's too hard.
But no, it's I'm that's my job. I mean, that part of my job.
Right. But you like it.
Yeah. No, it's not bad.
I feel like you're a pretty good mediator.
Some days. Some days not. I mean, I once in a blue moon may or may not let my temper get the best of me a little bit in meetings. But, you know, I guess I...
It's always good to overreact.
No, it's not good to overreact, but I feel myself starting to.
Mm-hmm.
And
you have to remind yourself that you're the mayor. Yeah, knock it off,
dumbass.
Smoke a joint. I'm just kidding. Well, no.
But calm the F down. We got to get through this. You know, we gotta, like you said, mediate through it. You know, that is my job at the meetings, is to run the meeting and be the mediator. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I got to remind myself sometimes, but it's okay.
Respectable.
I am stubborn. So
nobody's stubborn around here.
No, I'm just a stubborn Swede. So, you know,
me as well.
Yeah.
And so. I know how that goes. It's not easy.
No.
Figured you as more of a Polak.
I'm half and half. No.
I'm just kidding. I just said that to be snarky.
Half and half. I'm half Swede and half Polak.
Yeah.
Which should explain a lot to you.
I'm like Swede and Danish or something.
So let's do this, since we're kind of, you know, getting to the end of maybe this episode, but let's talk about your very lowest point in your drug addiction, and then let's go to your highest point in your life.
So I'm definitely going to have to say my lowest point was shortly before I got arrested. Was... doing a lot of drugs, doing a lot of stupid stuff, and just was dealing with the loss and didn't really know how to cope and was really struggling with it, you know, because we were best friends, but we weren't at the time, kind of a deal, and, you know, because we kind of had our little falling out or whatever, and it was... Yeah, it was tough. It was tough.
Did it get to the point where you did like so many drugs that you were so out of it, you couldn't like...
I wasn't like completely out of it. I mean, I knew what I was doing day to day, but it was just, I didn't know any other way to cope other than get high and try to melt it away.
So did you ever... did you ever come to a point of like being so depressed that you had thoughts of doing something?
A little bit. I mean, you know, I remember there was one night I was just gone, and there was a storm rolling in, and I went outside. And I don't know if I was pleading to God or who I was pleading to, but I was asking why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why did you have to take my friend? Why, you know, why did you have to leave his two boys here?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I where I'm at? I was out there literally staring into this storm and asking these questions, and I don't remember if I was actually asking them out loud or just in my head, but I stood there literally until a strike of lightning scared the living shit out of me when it basically was... I don't know if it hit the elevator lightning rod or what, but it sounded was so close. Loud.
It was enough to make you shit your pants.
Just damn near, right? And
so it could have been closer.
It might, yeah, it could have been, but it was one of those flashbang. It was so close. It was just, and I kind of come out of it.
Snapped out.
Yeah, and I was like, what the fuck am I doing outside here? You know, this is dumb. But, yeah, I don't know. It just... And then I went back inside for a while, and the storm kind of passed. And I went back outside, And I asked, like I said, if I was asking God or if I was asking John himself or mm-hmm. what.
I can relate to that.
Are you okay?
I've done that too. Like, give me a sign.
Yeah.
Are you
okay? And this light breeze kind of just, I don't know, it just felt like it wrapped itself around me for a second.
Yep.
I don't know. It was weird.
I was getting goosebumps.
Yeah. And I don't know. I felt like I didn't want to be here anymore. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I knew that I didn't want to leave my kids. Like, I mean, not that he chose to leave his, but I didn't want to choose to leave mine that way. I knew I had to figure something out.
Right, because that's something you could figure out was your drug issue and
knowing. Yeah, and whether I really knew it at the time or not, I kept doing what I was doing, but it wasn't long after that that I got arrested and ended up in Valley Hope, which...
So Ben probably essentially did save your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I thanked him.
And that makes a lot more sense now. Mm-hmm. In my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, and you ask him, he'll tell you the same thing. I went up and told him thank you. You know, thank you for saving me.
Yeah, that's awesome. So fast forward to now, what do you think is the highlight of your life or the best part of your life?
Well, it's got to be probably right now.
That's awesome.
You know, it's got to be
right now. Explain it. Tell us a little about it.
You got a sweet truck that you won't let me drive on the weekends?
Well, that's not up to me.
Yeah, it is. I
don't own it.
I know who owns it.
Well, like,
talk to them.
Why would you lend a vehicle to that guy seeing his vehicles right now?
Hey.
I'm a superb driver.
No one just can see my you vehicles, like, getting mad at me right now. So
just because my vehicles are rusty doesn't mean I'm a shitty driver.
Well, the White House is in a little better shape than the Van House.
Okay. That, again, not my fault.
Hey, rust happens.
Salt life. Rust does happen.
So tell us a little bit about your life and why you're at your best part.
Well, obviously, you know, was on the council for like 3 years. Well, before that, I guess I was a baseball coach, you know, in town. And that turned into being a baseball commissioner for town for our summer league. And then it turned into being on the park board for a couple of years. And then turned into being on the city council for 3 years. And now, obviously, mayor. I have a beautiful wife.
You do? Who can cook amazing cupcakes?
She can cook amazing
cupcakes.
Amazing anything.
I believe that.
There's a reason I weigh 315 pounds.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Nice.
At which I'm down 15 pounds from where I was this winter.
Yeah, you can always be better. It's never too late to change.
And I've been working on that a little bit too. Been doing some intermittent fasting and stuff like that.
That's hard.
Be a little more healthy.
You know, ketosis.
I don't know about that stuff. But, you know, doing my own thing.
I heard meth makes you skinny.
I was just going to say, you know what?
Yeah, we're not going to
make you lose weight quick.
We're not going to go down that road.
Delicious, nutritious methamphetamines.
Oh, my God.
I'm just kidding, obviously.
Yeah.
It's just fun to say delicious, nutritious with everything. Matt soup. God.
And so, yeah, beautiful wife that is an amazing cook. She can do anything. I mean, from baked goods to, you know, a 5-course full-on Thanksgiving dinner
I love it.
That you'll just founder on, kind of a deal, you know.
Yep.
And want to take 7 naps.
Yep.
You know.
I just, actually, before this podcast, my dad and I foundered ourselves off of morel mushrooms that we fried and ate way too many of, and I felt like a, you know, pig afterwards, but they're so good.
We had fried hamburgers and homemade mac and cheese tonight.
Nice.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Oh, yeah.
That'll do it.
But, yeah, and 5 pretty amazing kids,
mm-hmm.
you know.
How old?
So we have a senior, which We have graduation this coming weekend.
Is he the one that always sells pumpkins?
Yeah,
Robert. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he seems like a really good kid. I don't know him very well, but
he is.
Seems like a great kid.
The most awesome kid.
Well, you've instilled such work ethic in all of your kids, I feel like.
That is one thing, I guess, even through all the trials that I went through throughout my life, I've always tried to work hard, I guess. Whether it was the right way to do it or not.
That's how you got raised, though. I mean,
absolutely.
With your single dad and farming all the time and
absolutely.
Working his butt off.
You worked. Because that's...
You didn't know any different. No. That's just how you grew up.
That's how you had to make a living. You had to work. That's how you grew up on the farm. That's how you grew up driving truck, you know, with my Grandpa Westring and Uncle Rob and, you know, with the trucking company down there and Westring and Sons, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, they were a big trucking company back in the 80s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how many trucks, but it was like, it was a lot, 30-40 trucks.
Jeepers.
But, yeah, you know, you worked. You worked, period. You worked.
Yeah.
One way, shape, or form, you worked. Yeah. Whether you wanted to or not, you worked.
Kind of had to. I mean, you had to. You struggled, and a lot of people did.
Yep. And, yeah. So, yeah, Robert, awesome kid. Couldn't be prouder. Never thought this day would come, you know, graduating my first kid. It's crazy.
So
where did 18 years go?
I just thought of this question crazy. Now.
Does he spend a lot of time outside?
Oh, yeah.
He's pretty dark.
Do you?
That's part of his heritage also, but yeah.
Just curious.
Yeah. Yep.
Good, great kid.
Oh, yeah. He's a good kid.
I'm raising my hand.
Okay.
I got a crossing the line question I have to squeeze in here. Would you recognize the signs if Robert were to meet friends and start doing drugs?
Absolutely.
And what would your approach be?
I would definitely approach it different than I think my parents did, which was... I think more turn there. I don't know if they necessarily.
I don't feel like he's that kind of kid.
I'm not saying he is, but if he were to find himself in the wrong group of people and got presented.
Don't say just Robert then.
I'm just saying one of your kids.
Any of them. I think, well, between Jenna and I, we would definitely notice it. Absolutely.
And how would you approach that? Because again, you were in that situation. So now it's like turning around to. Knowing how you would have reacted to somebody confronting you.
Yeah, I'd probably be a little pissed at first, obviously. But, hey, you know, don't be dumb kind of a thing. But, you know.
I feel like, and again, I didn't do drugs, but I almost feel like I would have been like, listen, this is what I did. And this is how bad I got into it. And this was my experience.
And all my kids have heard that story.
It's all wrong. Wrong approach.
They have heard it. Trust me. Because, you know, we have teenagers, you know, so there may or may not be a couple of them that have done some dumb shit, you know, in the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hey, don't go down that path that I went down.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good for you.
Did you say you may or may not?
May or may not, yeah. Yeah,
I
did say that.
I like it. Well, all in all, though, you're happy where you're at now.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, back to the kids, senior. We have a junior. We have a freshman. And we have a seventh grader, which is JMO. Yeah, so Robert, Kylie, Jackson, JMO. And then our youngest that blended us all together as a family, Greeley. She's a fourth grader, 9. Spitfire, 9.
So is the youngest or the naughtiest, kind of.
I don't know if she's the naughtiest, but she definitely is in charge a lot.
That's all right.
Which some days is okay, I guess. But yeah, no, they're all good kids. 99% of, well, I can't say 99.
No kids are.
Maybe 90% of the time.
That's even a lie. I mean, my kids are not, for sure.
They get at each other's throats sometimes, and it's like, stop, please, you know.
But I just...
Having a big family, I guess, was always kind of a dream of mine, and I do have it. And, you know, I, like I said, have an amazing wife that keeps us all going the right direction that we need to go, because
it just takes a nice woman in your life. I tell you what,
if she,
turn your damn life around.
If she did not do the things that she does to keep us squared away and, hey, we have this going on and this and this and this, there's no way I could do it. I don't know how she does it some days, but yeah, she's pretty freaking awesome.
I like hearing that. I like hearing that you appreciate her too.
Oh, and she'll probably tell you that I don't enough, which I know I don't enough, you know, tell her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of take it for granted, I guess, unfortunately. But
show up with
tell her to just smoke a J and calm down a little
kill
bit.
Kill you, Jacket. It's enough.
I'm just kidding, guys.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
I'll show up with a bouquet of flowers tomorrow night right around like 5:15 p.m. after the podcast comes out at 5.
And oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Hey,
I can't because she don't like me getting flowers because
every
they die.
Woman says that.
Just like every relationship.
I will she says, again hurt die. You. Stab
don't,
it.
Don't buy flowers.
I'm just
they
kidding
die.
It's
again.
Worse if they actually die.
I'm just kidding.
Intended.
Yeah.
That was
dark.
Awesome. That was over the line.
Well, that was
it happens, guys.
It does happen.
It happens.
Flowers die.
Way too fast.
Anyways, well, we appreciate you like coming on and actually talking about harder issues than not, because not a lot of people have the guts to do that.
No, and you know, the one, I guess one thing I just wanted to say to, you know, anybody that is hearing this in town that didn't know it, ask me about it, because I definitely openly would talk about it, because, you know, it was a rough path.
And you
it took a long time and a lot of work to get through it. But if I can do it,
anybody
else
could
can
do it.
Yeah, anybody can do it.
I like that you said that, because you are the mayor. People, I mean...
Somehow, some way. No.
That was meant to be. I mean.
Yeah. No, I, you know, we had a good mayor before, I think. Rod did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And he just decided not to run again. And it was like, well, I guess maybe I could do that job, you know.
And maybe people will hear this and you could help somebody else that.
Well, absolutely. And I would be willing to do that too. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, it was a long, long, hard path, but it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely can be done.
When's your term up?
2024.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. 2026.
Jacket for mayor, 2024.
26.
We're going to expedite 26. It.
26.
I feel like you're making that up.
No, it's...
I'm just messing
with
you.
We're on the off year from the president, so off 2 years, so...
Yeah. Jacket for mayor 2026. Mm. That's a joke. I do not want to be mayor. I got too much other shit to do.
Well,
hey,
now
you could be on the council. You can run for city council.
That's still too much for Jacket.
Things are going to change.
No.
Things are going to change.
Hey, the city council is who has the power.
Well,
that's who changes stuff.
Now you should all know why I picked the song I picked for this week. Because you know, the king of drugs.
I got chills.
That's not
they're multiplying. Oh. No, that's how I feel guessing your harmonica songs.
That did actually kind of sound like that in the background.
Well, at least they're playing it better than you did.
I can't wait to get on the road again.
Willie, happy birthday, April 20th.
Yeah, come be on our podcast sometime.
Yeah.
Willie?
Yeah.
Why not?
I
mean,
why would he?
There would be a dark cloud in here for a long time, but...